Okay, we're going to have our Bible reading now. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6 as we continue on looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 through to verse 18. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Well, I'd like to say hi. I'm Jeff Bates, and I'm coming to bring you the Word of God this morning. I normally say when we gather, Christians gather, we gather to speak to God and to honour God and build up the saints and hear God speak. That's part of church. Today I felt after Mel speak, God's really given us a word to understand how he works in our lives. And I'm going to bring to you the passage that Daniel just read to us and explain it, as we've been going through our series in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, I'll be looking at, it's your attitude that counts this morning. And in particular, we're going to be looking at that of the Pharisees and how they were not with the right attitude. In fact, they were not even godly people. First of all, hypocrites. Academy Awards are given out for good actors, and they are given awards to people who are best at pretending to be someone else. And there's another kind of actor, and Jesus calls them hypocrites, and these people pretend to be people they were not so that they can be in favour with other people. Jesus tells us in this passage, that passage that Daniel just read to us this morning, that we are not to do our acts of righteousness so that others can see us. So let's have a look at this passage this morning. And a lot has been said about this passage over the years. And this sermon Jesus is giving to the disciples is a bit of an in-house talk that he's having. You see, the outsiders aren't there. He's gone up to the Mount Beatitudes and had the crowd sit down. There are no oppositional people or enemies of Jesus here. And he's telling them about the kingdom of God. And we read in the chapter before, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, we read these words, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus mean? Was he saying that we've got to do more of the same than the Pharisees? Was our Lord expecting his disciples to outdo the Pharisees in spending more time in synagogue prayer and praying longer? Was he expecting maybe a tithe of 20% rather than 10% of their wages? Not at all. Not at all. He was urging them to cultivate a different type of righteousness compared to that of the Pharisees. In their religious devotion, the Pharisees put all their emphasis on performance and appearance and amount. And Jesus declared that the kingdom righteousness is a deeper matter. It's about the love of God. It's about purity. It's about not only purity of heart, but a proper motivation. Look at Jesus' first words. We'll see in that passage that Daniel read to us from Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Be careful." Be careful. It literally means pay attention. It's the kind of words, if I could use a hypothetical, that you're going to go on your first parachute jump. You're excited, and you're being taught in the class beforehand. No, not in the class, but you're in the plane. And the instructor's going through the last things. This is your ripcord. Make sure you pull this. And if you don't, there'll be devastating consequences. But you're looking out the window and talking to your mates. Yep, I doubt if that would happen, really. It's something you need to hear when an instructor tells you about jumping out of a plane. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus says, he's talking about going to heaven after we die. And Matthew 6, the passage that was just read to us, verse 1, it says, "And pay attention." This information is crucial. It's not incidental. And we need to listen intently to every word and re-examine our ideas in the light of what Jesus says. We dare not assume that we are right in our thinking, even if we have been Christians for many years. Jesus makes it quite clear that he's still talking about the central issue of life. Again, in Matthew 5:20, he's talking about righteousness and going to heaven. And in chapter 6, verse 1, about righteousness and heaven. And so we see in 6, verse 1, be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If there is no true righteousness, he's saying there is no hope of getting to heaven. And if my righteousness is similar to the kind that of the Pharisees, if your righteousness is similar to that of the Pharisees, we ain't got a hope. So pay attention, Jesus says. And this illustrates his point. He goes through three areas of Pharisaic piety. Three areas: giving to charity, prayer, and fasting. And notice, first of all, that each of these activities is commended in itself. And secondly, there are many people in the world who do not engage in those three activities. And a significant number do not do any or only do some. So my question is, surely God must be pleased for whoever does these things, because other people don't? And the answer would be, It all depends. It all depends. Let's look at Jesus' evaluation of the Pharisees now. We see in verses 2 to 4. Follow with me as I read. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. Go on. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see what Jesus is saying here? He acknowledges that the Pharisees are giving to the poor, to the needy. But he's identified the reason why they are doing it. And we see in verse 1, to be noticed by men. That's their motivation. It's not a godly motivation. The Pharisees were taking a good activity and made it horrible by doing it for the wrong reasons. Now, I'm sure, you know, we're thinking about, hey, don't we do that? Many times we do. But they wanted to be noticed. Jesus is speaking about three good activities that can be ruined by the adoption of the wrong attitude. He talks about givers who give in order to be noticed by men. He talks about people who pray in verse 5 in order to be seen by men. And in verse 18, and those who ensure that they are seen fasting by men. It's all right. They were hypocritical. The word hypocrite has got to be one of the most ugly words in the dictionary, and certainly is one of the most ugly words in the Bible. It should be remembered also that there are two kinds of hypocrites. The deliberate hypocrites and those who are unconsciously hypocritical. The great danger for Christians is in the Church of God is not the first one so much as calculated deceit or deliberate pretense or flattery, but the unconscious hypocrisy towards God. The real threat to the disciples lies in the fact that hypocrisy is self-deception. You can be a hypocrite without knowing it. That's why Jesus says, pay attention. Pay attention. If you want to know how to open the parachute and escape disaster, then listen to what I have to say. Don't assume that you're okay. Don't measure yourself by someone else's opinion or performance. It's what God thinks that matters. Now, instead of lovingly and connecting with God, the Pharisees pursued good activities, but they were condemned because of their wrong motivation or attitude. Their attitude showed that they did not have a personal faith and relationship with the living God. You see, they wanted, their motivation was to be noticed by others. And they were hypocritical. Secondly, they received their reward. Three times we're told in verses 2 and 5 and 16. And Jesus repeats the solemn pronouncement. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Now, what was their reward? Not to be honoured by their heavenly Father in the here and now, or in heaven, or in eternity, but their reward was to be honoured by men here on earth for a few years. The Pharisees were focused on themselves and not God. Whatever reward the Pharisees deserved, they got it. In fact, their religious life was so perverted that they got the reward they were after. They wanted people to notice. They felt fulfilled and satisfied when people went around and said, "Ooh, isn't he religious? Or isn't he such a holy man? He must be very special to God." And Jesus admits that there is some reward for the self-righteous Pharisee, but it only belongs in the temporary world. "Pay attention," he says to his disciples. "Don't do what you do to be noticed by men. Guard against unconscious hypocrisy towards God. Never pursue the kind of reward that will exclude you from a heavenly reward. Listen to God and go for Him alone." And so Jesus then exhorts His disciples. He says three things: not to be seen by men, but satisfied to be seen by God alone. Carefully examining ourselves to see if there are any secret sins in our lives, particularly unconscious hypocrisy. And thirdly, not driven by thoughts of reward in this life, but rejoicing in the life to come. So let's take up this issue of giving. Celebrities and large companies love to make large donations to charities when they know that TV cameras and media are around them. And how do they give? You know, they give, maybe, Fred, are they legal, those big checks in banks? Are they? I don't know. You're looking at me dumbfounded. Those big checks, you know, so that, you know, look how big and all the zeros after it. Look how good I am. And they're hypocritical because they love to give when they are named or they are identified or a plaque is given or a wing is named after them for their generosity. You know, telethons get more money when they read the names out. And people love to give when they're noticed. And people like to give, like even us. We're tempted to do the same. If someone hears my name or sees me, and it makes me look in a good light. The Pharisees, they were tithing down to the veggie patch they owned, to the herbs in the garden, but without love at all for God. They did what people expected and a lot more. They won the admiration of many fellow Jews, but the Lord Jesus denounced them for being hypocritical. "Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Jesus says we are to give to the needs of others, and their greatest need of others is for them to know God. And we are to give of our time and our life and our finances to the work of the gospel. So be hugely generous. But don't draw attention to yourself when you do it. The second thing about prayer. When the Pharisees prayed in a public event, far from being shy about it, they wanted people to see them. Back in Jesus' day, it was common practice for men to lead in prayer in the local synagogue. And this responsibility was passed around the men in that synagogue, as it is in today. And their temptation was to pray to the audience and not to God. I wonder if we've ever been that. Pray to the audience and not to God. And they would use long words and holy sounding phrases. They would try to outdo the guy from last week who prayed. Hypocrites pray to the audience of many, but the disciples are asked to pray to the audience of one. God Himself, their Heavenly Father. And so, it's not our desire to impress others when we pray. When Jesus speaks to his disciples about prayer, he gives them a pattern of prayer. Now, we all know this prayer. I mean, as Daniel read it out, oh, I know that one. I can almost recite it, I think. I think I can recite it. You know, depending if it's in Shakespearean English or modern day one, I think I could say it. But when Christians pray, there are these things are the kinds of things that we should pray about. And there are three general requirements here in Matthew 6. We are to pray to the Father in secret rather than to be seen by others. Our prayer must be meaningful, and we must pray with a forgiving heart. Jesus tries to give them a pattern of prayer. The pattern can be broken into six sequences here, or requests. The first is God's name will be honoured. Second, that God's kingdom will come. Third, that God's will be done. And fourth, that God will provide for our physical needs. And then fifthly, that God will forgive us. And sixthly, that God will again provide for us and protect us. Jesus is not saying that these are the only ways that we are to pray. Nor is he saying we are to use these exact words when we pray. But he's saying it's these kinds of things that we should be praying for. You see, he wants us to make it clear, any prayer is not good enough. If you want to know that God hears and answers your prayer, you need to pay attention to his Son. Now let's have a look at fasting. The Jewish calendar had a number of fasts in it, and they would fast a number of times in the year, and whole members of the community would be involved in fasting. In fact, a dinky-dyed Jew would fast one day a week. Now, I'd struggle with that. One day a week. But the Pharisees, they wanted to outdo everyone. They fasted two whole days a week. And they did that to impress upon others. They'd throw dirt on their face and look down in the mouth and think, oh, that must be what godliness is. The Pharisees were masters of self-denial, especially in regard to food. But in the passages such as Isaiah 58, we see the purpose of fasting. But these religious men, these leaders of Israel, had lost that. And Jesus says to his disciples, in effect, when you fast, don't look deprived or neglected. You know, wash your face, freshen up. You blokes, put a bit of product in your hair, he says there. There you go, there's a first. Make yourself look good. God knows what you're doing. And other people don't need to know. Now, it's made me think about fasting. I'm not very good at fasting. I've contemplated it many times. But what about, and I'm not throwing rocks here, but I'm just looking at motivation. You know, the World Vision. You know, the World Vision, we love that organisation. It has a 40-hour famine. And the whole purpose is to raise money for World Vision, of course. But the whole person is, can you give me some bucks so I'll go without food for 40 hours? I know it has a fundraising component, but it also, look at me, I can go without food. And it's precisely the thing that Jesus forbade. So you've got to watch your motivation. That's all I'm saying when you do something like make it known that you're going without food for fasting. By the way, fasting should be there to help us focus upon God. A discipline that helps us to read his word and to be, you know, to walk by faith. And we should always check what we're doing by what the Bible says. Well, let me wind up here. Let's have a few reflections upon what we've just heard. How are we going with all this? At first, it seems unbelievable that Jesus criticizes people for giving to the poor and for praying and for fasting. But he did not criticize them for what they had done, but rather criticize them for why they had done it and the way that they had done it. Jesus mentioned only three things here, but he could have gone on about the things that we do. It could be going to church on Sunday morning here at Stanhope. It could be, you know, how much we gave to our church and make it known. Or it could be attending our life groups. Or it could be getting up in front here and singing or playing. You know, there are ways we can do a good thing for bad motivation. And sometimes it can start out with a good thing and go to bad motivation. And Jesus wants us to examine our motives and to make sure that it's God we are serving, not our own self-interests. Hypocrisy, the self-deception of the Pharisees, can be very subtle and it can creep up on us. And we can be guilty of doing it without realizing it. Friends, we need to have a check. Are we doing it for Jesus? What is our real motive in the things that we do? Perhaps it would be helpful for us to ask ourselves, come up with a spiritual checklist. Let's go through just a few things here. To do yourself a spiritual checkup, do I find myself doing Christian activities at the times and places when I know others will notice what I'm doing? If I'm involved in a ministry or rostered for duties at church, do I like other people to know what I'm doing or how well I'm going? Or in what areas am I serving Christ without anyone knowing about it? Do I like people to think I'm better than I know I am? Am I really more interested in manipulating others in serving them? Or is my Christian life about living for Jesus or making an impression? Or do I evaluate my Christian service by comparing my performance with that of others? Or are there times when I feel superior to other Christians because I give greater emphasis to prayer or giving than they seem to do? And or do I measure the significance of what I do by the response I get from people? Am I the same person at church as I am at home and at work? Or do I put on a Christian mask for suitable occasions? Have I a secret longing always to be first? Or can I truly say that I don't care who is second, third, or fourth, as long as Jesus is first? Can I hear my colleagues praised and sincerely enjoy it? Can I hear others praised for what I've done for God and not feel peeved? Friends, the list could go on, but you know, there's some of those things I've had to have a check. You know, I'm in ministry, you know? Surely that's the top. No. You can do ministry for really bad reasons. You can say you're serving the Lord for the wrong motivation. And it becomes all about self. And it's got nothing to do with our relationship with God. So there's always a terrifying possibility that we can have the form without substance, the appearance without reality, the religion without the relationship, and the display without discipleship. Your attitude and your actions and words reflect the sort of relationship that you have with God. So what do they say about you? What does your actions and motivation say about you? To each of us here this morning, let us hear Jesus' words. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So friends, let's not be like them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been reminded this morning that we can do good things from the wrong motives and this does not impress you in any way. Help us to serve you with a pure heart and a clear conscience and a godly motive. Help us in our service for you that we don't serve out of the desire to be recognized by others, but to find only your approval. And Lord God, help us to be consistent in our service for you at home and at work and with our friends, that we might not put on a show, but go about serving you faithfully. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen.